Gurave Namaha. So Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Kanamami. So today we're celebrating the glorious appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Actually, Srila Prabhupada described the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And being the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Lord, she is more merciful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. So therefore, the devotees, they pray to Radharani. I just got a letter from someone. One of my disciples said, why can't we also pray to Krishna? You can pray to Krishna. There's no prohibition. But we approach Krishna through Radharani, so we pray to both of them. But we cannot take Krishna without Radharani. We cannot take Radharani without Krishna. If we have Radharani without Krishna, we got Durga. You understand? So you cannot have Radharani without Krishna. They're always connected. And we're going to describe ontologically what that means in terms of Radharani's appearance in the spiritual realm, which is a very interesting story. But before we talk about Radharani's appearance in the spiritual realm and in this realm, we're not going to call it the material realm, because where Radharani appears is always spiritual. We'll talk about the ontological position of some descriptions of Radharani from Srila Prabhupada's books. Interesting. Just one thing is that we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis of Vrindavan, we accept that Radharani appeared in Ravel. Whereas in the Nimbarka Sampradaya, and they also follow Balabhacharya, they say that Radharani appeared in Varshana. You understand? So you might have heard that last Sunday when our guest said that Radharani appeared in Varshana. That's actually, it's different than our Sampradaya teachers. Now, one may say, you know, how is that possible? There's differences, but Radharani can actually appear in different places, in different yugas, because her appearance is transcendental. She can, in one Dwapara Yuga, she can appear in Varshana, another one she can appear in Ravel. Anyway, there's different stories of Radharani's appearance, which we're going to mention, and all of them can actually be accurate. Okay? So, first of all, let's discuss about who Srimati Radharani is from Srila Prabhupada's translation and commentary and from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, text 4, Adilila, chapter 4, text 55 to 56. If it's louder, it just bothers me. Closer. Thank you. Can't they turn it up any higher in the kitchen, or? Oh, in the Pujari room, okay. Because it hurts my ears if I go any louder. So, all right, so we're going to read this verse, or the two verses, actually. Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir ladini shakti hasmad ekatmana vapi bhuvi pura deha vedam gatau tau Chaitanyakyam pakatam adunatadvayam choikyam aptam radhabhavadyuti suvalitam naomi krishna swarupam radha krishna ika atma dvi dehadri anyonye vilase rasa ashvadana kari. And the translation is: the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now, these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they've assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Just some points, actually story, is that, of course, Radharani, she is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. She is golden colored. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Gauranga. He's also golden colored. And it's very interesting about this golden color. One story I was reading in the Govinda Lilamrita. And of course, Krishna, he is like blackish blue, like a fresh rain cloud, like a storm cloud. You look up in the sky just before there's a storm. Not during the storm. Don't look up in the sky during the storm. It could be dangerous. You'll get hit by lightning. But just before there's a storm, you look up in the sky and you actually see the blackish blue, this Krishna's complexion. Anyway, so Radha and Krishna, they have the Asta Sattvika Bhava, Asta Sattvika, Asta Leela. The eightfold leelas are pastimes at different times of the day. And the first one is in the early morning, like from about 3:30 to 6 in the morning. And what happens at that time is that Radha and Krishna are woken up. The reason that they're woken up is not that they have to go to Mangalarti or anything like that. Is that they have to get back home before it's discovered that they're missing. Because Krishna, he sneaks out in the middle of the night. And Radharani, she sneaks out in the middle of the night. And they're meeting secretly like this. So of course, secretly means the other gopis, they understand about this. But Jatila and Gutila and Abhimanyu, Radharani's so-called husband and mother-in-law and sister-in-law, they don't understand what's happening. Or at least, even if they think about it, they get angry. And even the name Jatila puts Krishna in anxiety. It's very interesting. And so what happens is they wake up, or they're not waking up, they're actually resting in conjugal pastimes. And Vrinda Devi, she just understands, you know, the necessity of them waking up and going back to their homes. And so she employs various creatures like parrots and other things to wake them up. You know, wake up, wake up. The dawn is coming, the reddish dawn is coming. And so, basically, just like people in this world, you know, sometimes they wake up and then they snooze again. Like in the, they have these alarm clocks with a snooze button. You know, you just push it and it gives you 5 more minutes. So Radha and Krishna, they look at each other and they forget about they're supposed to wake up because there's so much love there. That's real love. That you actually look at the other person, you forget about all your duties. And this is not just the initial love that people experience in this material world, the infatuation, that they look at each other and they forget their duties. That's a fact. But then, after about 6 months, they look at each other and remember their duties. You know, they look at their wife or their husband and they think, oh, I better get to work right away. In other words, they're not in love anymore. Love in the material world is just like an illusion, like the Bollywood movies, isn't it? Bollywood movies, love. Anyway, so Radha and Krishna, they look at each other and they forget that they're supposed to wake up. And so, you know, Vrinda is just beside herself with anxiety. You know, I got to get them up, you know, or else all hell is going to break loose. You know, this discovery that Krishna is not home and Radharani is not home. There's going to be a disaster. So then what happens is she calls for her ultimate weapon, which is this old female monkey, Kakati. And she says, okay, go for it. And Kakati just says, you know, Jatila is coming. And so that just hearing that word is enough to strike fear into Radharani and Krishna's heart, you know. So, oh my God, to till. Just that word itself is just like filled with anxiety, you know, instills or inspires or stimulates anxiety. So they both get up, but actually, they don't really, they're still, you know, don't know what they're doing. So they just grab the clothes that's right next to them. And so Krishna, he actually grabs Radharani's clothes. And Radharani, she grabs Krishna's cloth. So they put on each other's cloth. And they don't notice. You know, they're still looking at each other. They're in love and everything like that. And they don't notice what they've done. And all the other gopis, associates of Radha and Krishna, they're looking at them and laughing and laughing and laughing, but Radha and Krishna, they don't even notice that everyone's laughing. This is love, anyway. So, but it's the description given, which is relevant or connected with the description here about the color of Radharani and the color of Krishna, is that because Radharani is wearing Krishna's cloth, which is actually yellow or golden, it's described that, you know, she practically disappears, you know, so, because it's the same color. It's just like, just like they have in this technology, something called blue screen or green screen. Anyone's ever heard of this before? That's what the weatherman stands behind, stands in front of. And so what you're seeing when the weatherman is saying, you know, there's going to be like so much rain in Detroit today or something like that, he doesn't actually have the projection behind him. It's just like a screen, and they drop out that particular color. And that's how they do that magic, you know, whatever. So it's like that, like Radharani, she was wearing the yellow, so, you know. And then Krishna, he was wearing blue. And he's bluish color, so the same effect was there. So it's interesting that Radharani, she's always wearing blue because it's Krishna's color, and Krishna's always wearing yellow because it's Radha's color. You understand? That's interesting. Why is yellow or gold Krishna's favorite color? Because it reminds him of Radharani. And why is blue Radharani's favorite color? Because it reminds her of Krishna. You understand? Very interesting, isn't it? Normally, ladies wear different colors, not because it reminds them of their beloved, right? Any ladies here? No. So, it's not that you're wearing whatever, you know, maroon, because it reminds you of your beloved. It just happened to strike your fancy this morning when you went through the shelf and picked out a particular sari. It's not that you're wearing white because it reminds you of your beloved, but it's just like, you know, that's just your thing. Anyway, so this is some description about Radharani's color. Okay. Here's another statement by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Radharani is a manifestation of Krishna's love. Radharani is Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency of Krishna. Krishna is the energetic. Radha is the energy. That's Shakti and Shaktimam. Shakti means Radharani, the energy, and Shaktimam means the possessor of the enemy. So they're one in one sense, and in another sense they're two. Anyway, so let's see. Here's some more statements. This is also from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ladini rasara prema prema sarabhav Bhavera Panama Kashta Nama Mahabhav. The essence of the Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, Bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is Mahabhava. Mahabhava Swarupa Shirada Thakurani Sarvaguna Kani Krishna Kanta Shiromani. She, Radha Thakurani, is the embodiment of Mahabhav. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Krishna. Krishna prema bhavata yanrachitendriya koi Krishna Nija Shakti Radha Kridara Sahai. Her mind and senses, body, are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in her pastimes. And just another description by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani is as fully qualified as Krishna. No one should consider her to be material. She is definitely not like the conditioned souls who have material bodies, gross and subtle, covered by material senses. She is all spiritual, and both her body and her mind are the same spiritual embodiment. Because her body is spiritual, her senses are also spiritual. Thus, her body, mind, and senses fully shine in love of Krishna. She is the personified Ladini Shakti, the pleasure energy of the Lord's eternal potency, and therefore she is the only source of enjoyment for Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna cannot enjoy anything that is internally different from him. Therefore, Radha and Krishna are identical. The Sandini portion of Sri Krishna's internal potency is manifested, the all-attractive form of Sri Krishna, and the same internal potency in the Ladini feature has presented Srimati Radharani, who is the attraction for all the all-attractive. No one can match Srimati Radharani in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. So read a few more verses. These are wonderful verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Kanta Gana Deki Tri Vida Prakar Eka Lakshmi Gana Pure Makishi Gana Har Raja Prajangana Rupa Ara Kanta Gana Sa Shri Radhika Haite Kanta Ganera Vishtar. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Braj, who are the foremost of all. These consorts also proceed from Radhika. Avatari Krishna Yache Kare Avatar Ashini Radha Haite Tina Ganera Vishtar. Just as the fountainhead Lord Krishna is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. Govinda Nandini Radha Govinda Mohini Govinda Sarvasya Sarva Kanta Shiromani. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. Another one. Jagat Mohana Krishna Tanhara Mohini Utaiva Samastera Para Thakurani. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Radha Purna Shakti Krishna Purna Shakti Man Dvi Vastu Veda Nai Shastra Paraman. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. Radha Krishna Aichi Sada Eka I Swarup Lila Rasa Asvadite Dare Dvi Rup. Thus Radha and Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Radhika Hayena Krishnera Pranavavikar Swarupa Shakti Ladini Namayahar. Srimati Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is the internal energy called Ladini. Ladini Karaye Krishna Ananda Svadana Ladinira Dwarakare Bhaktira Poshan. That Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Okay. So, just one other story about the about why in the Srimad Bhagavatam the name of Radharani is not directly mentioned. And the story is as follows, that Shukadev Goswami is a very interesting story that was told by His Holiness Gaura Govinda Maharaj, that once upon a time, once upon a time, Lord Shiva was giving Bhagavatam class to Parvati. And as he was giving Bhagavatam class to Parvati, as she was doing what many of you do during Bhagavatam class, sleep. Because when you hear Bhagavatam, all the inauspicious things in the heart become destroyed, and the inauspicious things are keeping you from having proper rest at night. So instead of having proper rest at night, you have proper rest during the Bhagavatam class. So she was resting. I had. Like that. Anyway, and very interesting story. And so Lord Shiva was asking, are you hearing Bhagavatam properly? Were you hearing? And there was another living entity who was hearing the Bhagavatam at the same time. It wasn't Parvati, but this living entity had the ability to imitate people's voices. And that was a parrot. It was like a parrot. You know, just like if any of you had a parrot at home, that even if the cell phone rings, it can imitate the ringing of the cell phone. You know, I've heard that, you know, with my parrot. So, and you think, oh, the phone's ringing. And it's just the parrot. So the parrot sometimes, just like even the word we're saying, in English you say someone parrots someone else. That means someone imitates someone else. So this parrot was imitating, it was imitating Parvati. And this parrot was actually Radharani's parrot. Radharani has many different pets. They're described in the Radhakrishna Ganadesh Dipika. She has a deer, a Rangini is the deer. She has a pet, all sorts of different pet birds and pet, she may have a pet monkey, pet elephant and everything like that. Imagine having a pet elephant. Where do you keep it? Anyway, so different pets, and all the names are mentioned of these pets. And so this was Radharani's pet bird, and the bird kept saying in Parvati's voice, oh, very nice. Nice Bhagavatam class. Wow. It's ecstatic. So Lord Shiva was thinking, wow, my wife is hearing very nicely. So maybe the devotee should learn that technique or get a parrot so that when they can sleep in Bhagavatam class that we won't catch them. They're just going, wow, wow, wow. Great. And so Lord Shiva was thinking, she's hearing better than she'd ever heard before. And then he looked up and he saw his wife was sleeping. And he saw that this parrot, and he got really angry at the parrot. And he started chasing this parrot. Like, you rascal parrot. And of course the parrot was flying away, you know, Lord Shiva flying after the parrot. You know, went all around. At the same time, there was another Bhagavatam class going on. Srila Vyasadeva was giving class to his wife, and he was speaking Bhagavatam. And his wife actually was listening very nicely. She was listening so nicely, she was exhibiting one of the symptoms of bhava, or ecstasy. Her mouth was wide open. That's how you know someone's hearing Bhagavatam class. Usually people's eyes are wide closed. But her mouth was wide open. Wow. You know, Krishna's pastimes. Like that, you know, completely open. And so this parrot was flying, looking for some shelter. You know, look, Shiva's after me. He's going to burn me with his trishura. He's trying to attack. And so the parrot says, oh, there's this big open mouth there. Gurgavinda tells the story, and then whoop, right into the mouth. And of course, these are transcendental personalities. I mean, it's not, if a parrot flew into my mouth, I don't know what would happen. I'd probably die, isn't it? So what happened is the parrot went to the mouth and then went into the womb, somehow or other. This is transcendental. You know, this is just like a transcendental pastime. You know, I know there's not direct channels there. You know, I know a little bit about biology. So, and then that parrot was Shukadev Goswami. Shuka means parrot. Of course, the word Shuka means parrot, and it could also indicate like how a parrot touches some fruit, and by pecking on the fruit, it actually either pierces the fruit or softens the fruit, so the fruit can ripen more quickly. I was just actually reading about bananas last night. That bananas aren't really good for you until they're really ripe. Otherwise, it's just starch. You understand? And really ripe means when they have the black spots on them. You may think, yuck, black spots, but that's when they're best for you. They have the most nutrition. Otherwise, they're just starch, and it's very hard to digest. It said you shouldn't feed babies unripe bananas, for those of you who are mothers. You should know that. Anyway, and bananas are one of the healthiest foods. Anyway, I don't want to give class about bananas, but... So the point is, when something's really ripe and even, you know, it has little spots in it and things like that, then it's the tastiest. So the parrot actually pecks with its beak, with its nose. That's a parrot's nose. Anyway, I won't say anything about that. But anyway, so the parrot pecks and something gets sweeter. So when Shukadev Goswami recites the Srimad Bhagavatam, the recitation is actually sweeter than what he heard. So when a pure devotee of the Lord recites some pastime, he actually makes it sweeter. And the reason he makes it sweeter is that the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are contained within the sound vibration of Krishna's pure devotee. So it sweetens it like that. So Shukadev Goswami is called Shukadev for that reason too. But also because he's Shuka, he's parrot. Shuka means the parrot of Srimati Radharani. So therefore, when he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he couldn't really mention the name of Srimati Radharani because one who loves Krishna, loves Radharani, Goranga Balite Habi Pulaka Shavya, will feel the symptoms of ecstasy when they have this Vibhava. Remember our class on bhavas? No one remembers. A vibhava is that which excites you. Like someone who's actually a devotee. Like Lord Chaitanya said, when someone said, you're the best devotee, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a devotee. Because if I was a devotee, I couldn't be able to live in this world. In other words, either because of separation from Krishna or because of some impetus in remembering Krishna, a devotee would be in such ecstasy that he'd find it incapable to exist. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his final pastimes, in ecstasy would sometimes be making these sounds, and hitting his head on the wall, and the devotees had to, you know, just like protect him all the time. You know, to keep him from like banging his head on the floor, on the wall, out of ecstasy. It's like madness. Divyonmada, to describe transcendental madness. So, a pure devotee, the Lord has to really just like control his transcendental madness. We, on the other hand, have to control our senses. You know, it's the opposite. You know, we have to control the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. Constantly, it means constant attention. Can you imagine that? Now, I know you can imagine it because you're trying to do it. Not always successful. Imagine it. Tongue. So whenever we feel anger, got to control it. Here it comes again. Right? Tongue. And whenever our tongue starts vibrating, not the holy names, but it starts vibrating towards some food. It's like a snake that goes, slithers towards some food. So whenever the tongue starts vibrating, we got to control it. So we actually should have this automatic response that, you know, whenever we experience like tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, or the words, desire to speak, we should just pull it back like the tortoise. So in the same way, the pure devotee is also like the tortoise. Then whenever he or she, you know, is exposed to something that reminds him or her of Krishna, And everything reminds a pure devotee of Krishna because they're seeing Krishna everywhere, but especially things related with Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. You know, then the devotee just faints, like Mukunda when he saw the peacock fan, is one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And he was advising the Muslim, Nawab, he just fell to the ground. Just a peacock feather, that's all. Can you imagine loving Krishna so much when you see a peacock feather, you faint? I mean, I don't experience things like this. I see a peacock feather, I faint. I wish I did. I was actually just somewhere where I saw a peacock. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I was in Slovenia. And this devotee had a, next door neighbor had a peacock, and I was running after the peacock to get a feather. Because during this time of the year, or during the spring, it was earlier in the year, it's the mating season for the peacocks, so the peacocks grow all their feathers. And I was like, I got to have a feather for my chilas. So I was running. The peacock was running. And the peacock ran faster than me. Someone's mobile phone. It's not Krishna's flute, for sure. So anyway, so the peacock was running. So finally, one of the devotees got some of the feathers, and I have them in my house for my deities. So that's called vibhava. Lambana and udipana. The things that remind you of Krishna or Krishna directly. It's going to be 15 minutes later, right? Yeah, that's what I'm calculating. So the things that remind you of Krishna, it's udipana, alambana, those things, that's Krishna directly. So if you see a flute or if you hear a flute sound, you see a peacock feather, or you see Krishna's footprint, or you see anything practically that is connected with Krishna's Vrindavan. So what to speak of hearing the name of Radha? So Shukadeva Goswami did not recite the name of Radha in the Srimad Bhagavatam because that would have been too much of an udipana for him. I mean, that's it. Srimad Bhagavatam finished, Maharaj Pariksit disappointed. You know, us not being able to read the rest of the Bhagavatam. You know, a lot of unfortunate side effects that would have occurred. So therefore he didn't recite. So, but he is the greatest devotee, one of the greatest devotees of Srimati Radharani. Okay? Interesting. So now we're going to tell the story of Radharani's appearance in Goloka Vrindavan. So in Goloka Vrindavan, this is so interesting. Goloka Vrindavan, okay, let's describe what Goloka Vrindavan is. There's Gokul Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Gokul is the manifestation of Vrindavan in this world. And basically, they're non-different. But, and there's a big but, some of the pastimes are different. I mean, for example, in Gokul, in this world, you have demons. In Golok, you don't have demons. Although people talk about them. You know, it's some discussion. Although sometimes in the spiritual world, devotees play the part of demons. There's no actual demons. As mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you actually have a devotee who plays the part of the Kaliya serpent in the spiritual world. And Krishna, instead of just like getting rid of the Kaliya serpent at the end of the pastime, sending him out to Fiji, which is where he lives now. Prabhupada said that. So instead of sending the Kaliya serpent to Fiji, he just takes the Kaliya serpent, who's actually a devotee, and uses him as a pair of jet skis. Not a pair, but, you know, as jet skis. And he just rides him around the Jamuna. Shh. So even in the spiritual world, you know, there's jet skis. But they're all personal. Isn't it? You know, so when people do things in this world, it's all a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So Krishna has his own jet ski. Shh. Or when the Arishtasura in the spiritual world is a devotee, and Krishna tames him and he gives him to Lord Shiva as his bull Nandi. You understand? Or Keshi is a devotee too in the spiritual world, and Krishna tames him and rides him around. He just puts his coward boys on the back and they just like go galloping around Vrindavan. So the manifestation of the pastimes is different. Another thing is, in the material world, Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he doesn't really manifest his presence there again. It leaves at the age of 16. Some acharyas say 12, but actually Prabhupada said 16. So he leaves at the age of 16, and then the residents of Vrindavan are bereft and everything like that. In the spiritual realm, he leaves and then he comes immediately back, just to give them a little bit of, let's say, ecstasy, a vipralamba seva. He leaves and comes immediately back. So there's some difference like that. But both the spiritual realm and the earthly goloka, they're actually just as spiritual as each other. And also in the spiritual realm, there's no pastime of Krishna being born or Radharani being born. Of course, they're never born. They appear. But so and also some of the little childhood pastimes are not there in the spiritual realm. They're only in the material world. But when a devotee becomes perfect, let's say if a devotee becomes perfect, that's even better. A devotee first goes to the place in the material realm, in some universe where Krishna's pastimes are taking place. Because Krishna's pastimes are Nitya Lila. They're always taking place somewhere in some universe. You know, right now, Lord Damodar is being tied around the stomach somewhere by Mother Yashoda. And Lord Damodar is dragging down the twin Arjuna trees. Right now, Putin is being killed. As we speak, it's happening in some other universe. So these are all Nitya Lila eternal pastimes. Anyway, so a devotee goes to where these pastimes are taking place when they become, or if they become, perfect. So as far as Radharani's appearance in Goloka, it's not actually a birth appearance. It's very interesting. There's a place called Rasa Mandal. Of course, Rasa Mandal means a place where the Rasa dance takes place. Rasa is a type of dance. And on the side of that, there is a mountain called Shata Shringa. And that Shata Shringa mountain appears in this world as Govardhan. Interesting, isn't it? A spiritual world, also called Govardhan. Like that. And there's also Malatian, Malika flowers. And Krishna was sitting on this place called the Ratna Singhasana. That means, Singhasana means lion throne, and Ratna means jewels. So he was sitting on this. This is actually a place in Govardhan called the Ratna Singhasana area, which is, let's see how to describe it. It's like inside, when Govardhan goes down into the earth, you turn right. I mean, I'm just picturing the whole thing. You turn right and take a path through all these sandy fields and everything that very few people know about. And you see this Ratna Singhasana area. And this is also where the Shankachuda demon attempted to kidnap Radharani. There's an interesting story about that. We could tell that. So the Shankachuda demon had a jewel in the shape of a conch shell. Shankachuda demon. And the Shankachuda demon, he actually grabbed Radharani, and Radharani was crying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Krishna did what he normally does with demons. He killed him. And he also did something that was very interesting. He took this conch shell off the jewel conch shell off of the forehead of the Shankachuda demon, and he gave it to Balaram. And Balaram later gave that jewel to the sun god. And that jewel later became the what? Who knows? The Shaimantaka jewel. Interesting. And that jewel was later given to Satyajit by the sun god, along with, who else? Satyabhama, who was actually Radharani, and in one sense the sun god's daughter, not really Satyajit's daughter. A lot of people got children from the demigods in the sense that the demigods just said, you know, here's my daughter, you know, here's my son, take care of him. So, And that Satchabhama, who was actually Radharani in the Dwarka pastimes. I think this battery's getting out, so let me change the microphone. She'll do it. She knows how to do that. Anyway, so Krishna had a desire to enjoy. So you may say, if that means he was in Maya, he desired to enjoy. Gracias. De nada. Hare Krishna. That's better. So Krishna had a desire to enjoy. Krishna felt lonely. This is just a pastime, and Radharani is always there. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So when Krishna desires to enjoy, like when we desire to enjoy, we have to do something, like go to work, make money, take out our credit card or something like that, go on Amazon, go on Facebook, you know, things like that. You know, go to singles.com or something like that. Anyway, so, not me, I'm a sannyasi. So when we desire to enjoy, we have to do a lot of things. But when Krishna desired to enjoy, he just desired. And then, right from his left side, appeared a very beautiful girl. He said, I'm desiring to enjoy. So right from his left side, and she was decorated with jewels and wore cloth purified by fire. It's described here, she was dazzling like millions of moons. Her body was the color of molten gold. And when she smiled, her teeth were extremely attractive. You see how people are trying to imitate this in the world, and they go to the dentist, and they have a teeth whitening and everything like that. Very popular. So, or they get false teeth. Anyway, so she was wearing a flower garland of malati and a diamond necklace. Her bodily effulgence was as brilliant like the sun in the summer season. She was sitting next to Krishna on the Ratna Singhasana. Now that Ratna Singhasana, you can actually visit that area in Govardhan. We're going to go there this year, those who are going to be with me. Anyone ever seen that area? No, no one here has ever been there. It's in the middle of Govardhan. It's right near Gwalpokur. Gwalpokur is it's a pokur of the coward boys. A pokur means, that's actually a Bengali word, isn't it? Pokur, which means like a kund. Bengali is a pokur, right? So pokur. So kund is actually Hindi. Kunda is Sanskrit. So it's right next to the coward boy is Pokur, and it's a beautiful area. Practically no one goes there. There's a footprint of Krishna and a calf right at the entranceway there. And you go in that area and there's all these rasa mandalas there. And then anyway, that's where Radharani appeared in the spiritual world, in that same place. Anyway, just so you know when you go there. So immediately, what did she do when she appeared? She ran to pick flowers for Krishna. Because she's serving. You understand? It's not that she just said, "Hi, Krishna." She immediately ran to do service. Therefore, there's another description of Radharani's name. Ra represents the Rasa Mandala, and Da represents Dhava Manam, which means to run. Interesting, isn't it? Description of Radharani's name. Because she appeared in the Rasa Mandala and was running, and when she saw him, she was very enthusiastic to enjoy Ramana. Her name is Radha. That's nice. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Wow. Another description. What's it? And this is very interesting. As soon as someone utters Ra, immediately he proceeds towards the lotus feet of Hari. And it's described that all the gopis have manifested from the hair pores of Radharani, and the gopas have manifested from the hair pores of Krishna. Wow. And Mahalakshmi manifested from the left side of Radharani. And Mahalakshmi, of course, is the wife of Narayan. Okay, that's an interesting description, isn't it? And so here's some description of Radharani's appearance on the Earth planet. So there's this mountain. Now in those days, and in these days, actually, there's souls that are the souls of mountains, souls of clouds. You may not think like that, but these entities undergo the six changes. You know, that is, you know, birth, growth, you know, maintenance, byproducts, dissolution, and death. These are the six changes that every body, embodied living entity, undergoes in this world. I mean, even the Earth planet is a person. Who's that? Bhumi. So what to speak of mountains? Mountains of people. So here's the thing. So you have Mount Vindhya was very envious of the Himalayan mountains, because the Himalayan mountains had given birth to Parvati. Parvati means the daughter of the Himalayas. Parvat, the daughter of the mountain. You know, Parvat means mountain. So Parvati means the mountain girl. Basically means mountain girl. That's actually interesting. So so Vindhya is thinking, you know, I want to have a daughter too. You know, this Himalaya's got Lord Shiva as a son-in-law. So I'm going to perform austerities. So my Vindhya was performing austerities. Om Brahmaya Namaha, Om Brahmaya Namaha, Om Brahmaya Namaha. It's interesting. So Lord Brahma appeared and asked Vindhya, what do you want? Vindhya said, I want a son-in-law who can defeat Lord Shiva in battle. And Brahma was thinking, oh my God, I granted a benediction, but you know, who the heck can defeat Lord Shiva in battle? So then he thought a little while, and he thought, well, the only person who can defeat Lord Shiva is Krishna. And so if I'm going to have Krishna, if I'm going to bless him to have Krishna as a son-in-law, that means he must give birth to the wife of Krishna. And the wife of Krishna is who? Srimati Radharani. So he's thinking like that. So Lord Brahma blessed him like that. So this is an interesting story. So then Vindhya begot two daughters. Who were very beautiful. And of course that was Radharani and Chandravali. So in the meantime, Krishna had appeared in Vrindavan, and Krishna had appeared in Vrindavan. So after Vindhya's wife gave birth to the two daughters, he had a samskara ceremony. Samskara means a name-giving ceremony. And so the Brahmana was performing this name-giving ceremony, swaha, swaha, swaha. In the meantime, this beautiful lady, Putana, gorgeous, extremely gorgeous lady, was hovering in the air. Because she had been given the order to actually kidnap all the young girls and kill the babies, the baby boys. So she was kinder to the girls than the boys. Anyway, to kidnap the young girls. So she actually grabbed these two girls. So King Vindhya, seeing his two daughters like flying up the air with this big demoness, became very disturbed. And the Brahmanas started chanting all the mantras to kill the demon. Of course, they weren't so powerful, those particular mantras. The mantras just like made her a little weaker. Whew. Boy, the Brahmins. Anyway, so she was flying through the air. The mantra was just... She was breathing hard, you know. So she couldn't carry both of them. And so she dropped one of them. That was actually Chandravali, who was actually Rukmini. And this Chandravali was taken care of by King Bhishmaka until she was 5 years of age. And then she was sent to Vrindavan. So then when Krishna... When Krishna killed the Putana demon, this is a whole story, we're not going to tell that right now, and she was just lying there, the girls, that Radharani and some other girls that Putana had killed were actually lying on her too, and so Purnamasi just like grabbed them really quickly before anyone could catch her, and gave Radharani to Vrishabhanu and Kirtida. Okay? And here's another story. There's actually several stories, which is really interesting. Once Surya Dev, that means the sun, whose name was Banu, was worshipping Krishna with a desire to get Radharani as his daughter. And the Lord was pleased and agreed to fulfill his desire. And on the earth there was a village known as Ravel, which is the place where Radharani appeared. And there was a king amongst the cowards there named Mahabanu. He had five sons, Chandrabanu, Ratnabanu, Vrishabanu, Subanu, and Pratibanu. Yeah, the Banu family. Actually, there's one very, very nice devotee from Bosnia. Her name is Banu Nandini. She's a sister of one of my disciples. Very nice, nice girl, Banu Nandini. That's the name of Radharani, Banu Nandini. Nice name, isn't it? Anyway, So amongst the five brothers, Vrishabhanu was selected to be the king. And so that Vrishabhanu was considered to be non-different than Suryadev, who was Banu. So he performed hundreds of Rajasuya sacrifices. And then he married the daughter of another king, a rich coward man named Bindu. And that daughter was named Kirtida. So after many, many years, they didn't have any children. So they were in great distress. They were performing all these different types of yagyas. Finally, Kirtida said to her husband, "You better worship the goddess Kachyani." And then King Vrishabhanu started to worship Kachyani at the foot of Govardhan Hill, at the bank of the River Jamuna. At that time, actually, incidentally, the River Jamuna came all the way to Govardhan. Nowadays, it's very far away. It's like, whew, like 30 kilometers away, basically. But that time, because the rivers change course all the time. So Jamuna was right next to Govardhan. Really interesting. So he performed all these sacrifices. And then all of a sudden, one day, he heard a sound vibration. And the sound vibration said, basically, what are you doing all these sacrifices for? Just chant Hare Krishna. That's the most auspicious thing. You know, all these things, swaha, swaha, you know, Dhamma Pavitra stuff. Just chant the holy names. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing. It's not exactly that. So he started chanting a mantra given to him by Kratu Muni, which was, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anyway, eventually, he was given, Kachyani gave him a golden egg, and later on from that golden egg, Radharani appeared. So the final description is he saw 1,000 petal lotus flower come floating down the Jamuna, and then Radharani was in that lotus petal flower. Radharani ki jai.